Welcome back to Community Connections, and as we always do, every hour we change the hour, and of course, being the first Wednesday, I nearly said Monday, I don't know why I say that when Peter's here, but the first Wednesday of the month, we have our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. Now, he couldn't be with us last month, his grandkids overtook us, but anyway, who can blame him for doing that with the grandkids? But first of all, welcome, Peter.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me. And it was, the show week. So we had a grandparental duties at the show.
Sounds good to me. That'll always always beat doing radio, no matter what. It's always good to be out with the grandkids. Peter, we brought up, it was a couple of months ago when I spoke to you, we were talking about Bunnings, and I saw a photo of someone with a shotgun in Bunnings. I can't believe that anybody would take a gun into any store. It's just beyond belief. But you were saying that, or I think I read the other day, where Bunnings have had their AGM and they've been talking about, like, they've had a lot of incidents in store, haven't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And basically Wesfarmers during the AGM, Alan, revealed that staff across its stores, which I presume would be Australia-wide, which include Kmart and Bunnings, faced more than 13,500 threatening incidents from customers in the past year, including more than 1,000 physical assaults.
That's where they've actually hit someone. Like, we're not talking about just yelling at when we talk physical assaults. We're talking about someone getting hit, aren't we?
Yeah, contact being made, basically. The figure also includes several hundred threats of serious harm at Wesfarmers, which is one of Australia's biggest employers, which I didn't realise, I must admit. That was released at their AGM, and obviously they're calling on trying to put renewed pressure on state governments to roll out tougher retail crime laws. So a quote here from the Chief Executive Rob Scott, during the year we experienced a significant worsening of retail crime and customer-threatening situations, unquote. So the threatening incidents at Kmart went up by 29%, and at Bunnings, incidents involving threats of serious harm increased 66%.
66%?
Yep, so that's threats of serious harm, yeah. So that's not good.
Do they give any reason behind it? I mean, that's horrendous.
I think it's just, from what I'm hearing, Alan, it's sort of some sort of post-lockdown pandemic sort of reaction. Oh, that's getting the blame for it anyway. I don't know how true that is, and I haven't seen any sort of scientific facts behind that, but that seems to be what's getting blamed, the fact that Victoria is clearly the state with the biggest problems, and so it's referring back to sort of post-pandemic I don't know, what do you call it, the PTSD or something from the
But you were locked down, I was locked down, but I don't go into a store and start threatening people.
No, but I guess there's some desperation there, and we talk about it and joke about a little bit about, you know, what goes on the roads and things like that, and I think in general terms people are driving a lot worse post-pandemic than as a general observation.
As a general observation, I'd say we're becoming more impatient than we've ever been, and I'm not too sure why.
Yeah, well, again, that's what people are now referring back to the lockdown perhaps being the reason for all this. It's sort of that, I don't know, is it a feeling of entitlement or something? I'm not sure. But anyway, so Wesfarmers have been calling on state governments, along with other major retailers and unions, of course, to introduce workplace protection orders aimed at tackling the rise in retail crime. And there's a little stat down the bottom here. Latest data shows Victoria Police recorded 99,114 incidents in the year to June 2025, with a 52% increase in threatening events.
Now, when we're saying threatening, does it detail what threatening is, Pete? Is it sort of where they're threatening them with, you know, I'm going to do this to you or that, or?
Yeah, so that I would read threatening events as perhaps more verbal than physical contact, yes.
I don't understand. I mean, you and I live through it, but I don't see the need to go out and try and threaten someone and hit them or anything like that.
You'd like to think not anyway, yes. It's possibly a few people around.
I can take that. Peter, just a quick one. I'm not too sure whether you've been in since they handed down this about the facial recognition. What's the fate of that, Peter? I know one of them got caught out, didn't they? And the judge wasn't too happy.
No, well, again, that's Bunnings again, which has copped a fair whack from the Privacy Commissioner.
Yep.
But there is some interesting. There's some alternative products being touted in that sort of field. Not obviously facial recognition as well.
Yep.
So I actually had a couple of things printed out here in respect to the use of AI cameras to stop shoplifters. And the idea behind that was that the cameras are not specifically looking at the face, but they're looking at the person's gait and also their movements within the store. So I guess perhaps they're looking for erratic behaviour and things like that. And they're saying that this particular technology is supposedly driven retail crime down by almost 30% in some stores across the US.
True.
And now being floated as a possible solution to Victoria's shocking number of retail crimes. So that was one of them. It's a theft prevention AI. I think the company's called Smoke Shield. I think they're saying that it possibly does comply with Australian privacy laws because it's not actually identifying the person, it's identifying their movement and their posture. And then that then could be forwarded to, say, loss prevention officers within the store.
Yep.
To say, keep an eye out on that person because they're behaving unusual. So,
Peter, did they, in that the report they handed down where they said that facial recognition's not on, did they, if you put a notice up on the front of the shop when you walk in, does that alleviate it? Because then you walk in knowing that, hey, I'm going to be photographed.
Yeah, I think Bunnings in all probably made what you term as a poor attempt to notify people. I think that they did put signs up, as I understand it, but I think they were that sort of small in font and positioned in probably not necessarily the most obvious places. So yes, I think, and in fact, I think there is now some stores that actually do advertise that, and I don't think I actually save that article, but I'm certain I saw an article where I think it might have been a liquor store had put up signs, or perhaps it was a supermarket, an independent supermarket, saying that you're being monitored, and it was quite a obvious and generously sized sign, and they were, as far as I understand, that they weren't having any issues with that.
Well, I mean, I don't have any issues at all. But, I mean, they put these signs up, don't they? If you come in here, we're going to search your bag. So you walk in the door, you know they're going to search the bag, or they've got the right to. I would have thought if they had a big enough sign, there's nothing to stop them taking a photo.
No, and I suppose the other side, for the stores that spent presumably a huge amount of money installing the ability to do that, it'd be quite a expensive write-off if it turned out that they weren't able to ever switch it back on again. A fair investment in infrastructure, I would have thought.
Peter, I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with more and talk to PI Peter.
Racing a diesel train.
I'm talking to our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. Peter, you want to talk about unsolved crimes?
Yeah, so there's a recent article talking about almost 300,000 cases open as police struggle to fill rosters and staff police stations. And there's some numbers listed there saying that, for example, 20,848 crimes against the person remain unsolved, and that's sure. up by 70% in a year.
Gee, that shouldn't be, should it?
No, not those ones in particular, I guess.
Yep.
257,359 property and deception offences remain unsolved. A 68% increase in all cases over the year. 67% of residential aggravated burglaries are unsolved, an increase of 1,365 cases in a year. 23,397 motor vehicle thefts remain unsolved, which is 71% of all cases, and up over 9,000 cases in the year.
Geez, a lot of cases here, isn't it, not being solved?
Well, and that's what comes to 296,080 unsolved cases in the past 12 months, an increase of 81,633, which is 38% year on year.
So we're talking nearly 300,000 cases.
Unsolved in the last year, yeah.
That's unsolved.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So it's, you know, please don't take this as me or anyone for that matter criticising what the police do, because they are just so desperately under-resourced, as are so many, you know, sort of government-based organisations. They're saying, for argument's sake, that 2,000 off the beat forced dozens of stations to close or operate on reduced hours. So,
It's not the police fault. It's just not right. And you know, I came past one this morning that you can tell that there's nobody in the station. I mean, the grass is growing and all. They're just pulling them out the stations. It's not good. But anyway.
Well, actually, on that point, there was, I know that it's just been, there was a restriction on the gardening services at police station were cut due to budget cuts.
Yeah, they're cutting the grass themselves.
Yeah, but I believe that's now been reinstated just quite recently from something that I've read. So they're saying here, Alan, there's 1,000 vacancies in the police force if you're looking for something to do. And they've got about 700 officers on sick leave or work cover at the moment. So that's another factor as well. So,
we're talking nearly a third of a million cases that are unsolved, which I find staggering.
And then it goes into, you know, a bit more detail with a particular shopkeeper that says she has a repeat thief in her store, and you know, police rarely follow up on the report because they probably don't have time, and you know, and then you've got to worry about, are they carrying a machete or you know, a syringe or whatever. So again, it's unfortunately the basic instructions are is to put your hands up and let them do what they're going to do and hope that they get apprehended later. So
yeah, it's terrible. And in fairness to the police, and I do interview the police from time to time, and they tell me, like, it's got to be on a priority. It's what's the most urgent case? Like getting the car and there's 10 messages there, and they've got to take the most. And very often, with so much family violence, they take top priority, and, you know, that can tie a car up for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would suspect they probably triage very carefully and do it very well, but it does leave the, what we would call lesser crimes, would just go, simply just go unattended, which is what they're saying here.
But one of those that you mentioned, which was a crime against a person, I think, I mean, that's obviously where someone's been hit or something like that's happened. So I would think that we would like to think that they could all be solved.
Yeah, and therefore that is possibly why property and deception offences and even theft of motor vehicles is largely get unsolved because of the crimes against person are, as we just talked about, are more of a priority.
and they're still not being solved. Peter, I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more.
Man, what a hell of a year it's been. Keep on bluffing, but I just can't win. Drown my sorrows, but they learn to swim. Man, what a hell of a year it's been. Head in a bottle for my heart in a case. Yeah, it's getting harder to act my age. Play a sad song on a tiny violin for the man at the bar confessing his sins. I need some good news. Tennis sipping on cold truth. Nobody knows what I'm going through. With the devil and walking my shoes. Wish someone told me living this life would be lonely. Trying to get away from the old me. Still stuck singing these blues. All I really need is a little good news. Love keeps knocking, but I just stay. I ain't picking no flowers for the season I'm sown. They say it gets darker when you're coming on down. Still looking for the right at the end of my wrongs. At the end of my wrongs. I need some good news. Sitting here sipping on cold truth. Sipping on cold truth. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Bet the devil wouldn't walk in my shoes. Wish someone told me. Something bring me back to the middle. And all I really need is a little good news.
Peter, with what we were saying in the last bracket, I hope people don't think we're having a shot at the police, because I do have some rallies in the police force, and I think they do a terrific job. It's not their fault if they haven't got enough members and they're a bit underfunded. But anyway, I don't want to go there. That's a political statement. I don't make those. But you've got a positive story, Peter, that you want to tell about the police.
Yeah, there was a recent article referring to police down Geelong in the Geelong CBD, basically launching what was called Operation Plymouth, which was targeting retail crime and antisocial behaviour. And that led to 42 arrests for theft, another 14 for other offences, including drug possession, weapons charges, and 26 road safety infringements. And they also executed searches across Corio and Warren Ponds down that way, seizing edged weapons, drugs, and stolen goods. So that was that's a bit more of a, I guess, when they put the pull their resources and do a bit of a blitz, they do definitely get results. And including they found several repeat shoplifters wanted on warrants were also arrested. And they recovered multiple knives during their targeted weapons searches. So I think they've now got the, pretty sure they've got the power now to basically search if they think there might be any weapons. So
which is good.
Yeah, so foot patrols through key shopping precincts and in working in together with major retailers, which, of course, is what we were talking about before that's being called for.
Yep.
And as we as you probably suspect, Alan, if there's a police presence, that, that itself deters thefts in its own right. Yep. So, and of course, and again, that would then have reduced violence against retail workers, at least during the period that their presence was there. So,
I used to go to Geelong sometimes twice a week for work, and but the CBD used to be a terrific place, and for a while it went really downhill. So it's good to see that they've done something down there and cleaned it up.
Yeah, there's one particular, there's a bus stop at a place called Marketplace, which is basically getting emptied out. All the retailers are leaving, and there's a bus exchange there that seems to be the hub of criminal activity. So they're desperately trying to figure out a way to solve that issue. And I think the Singapore owners of the shopping centre aren't sort of playing ball, because they're saying, well, if you don't do something about that bus stop, we're not going to invest in reconfiguring the shopping centre.
Yeah, gee, didn't know that. That's not good. But Geelong's had a bit of a bad run, including the CBD. The CBD there for a while was just really bad news. There'd been some stabbings and all sorts of things. Anyway, gets on to brighter note. It's good to see that it's had they've started to clean it up. What else would you like to talk about, Peter?
So there was another article which is interesting, and it was saying that retail theft is now the norm. So more than half of young Australians believe it's acceptable to steal from shops, with a growing number admitting to cheating self-checkouts. So this is apparently a Monash University study. 18 to 34-year-olds basically are the people that find that most most acceptable, I guess, is the way to word it. And, of course, as you just by your reaction, the findings are obviously quite concerning. A growing number of shoppers, particularly young people, consider some form of retail theft to be justifiable, whether that's not scanning an item, changing price tags, or taking advantage of deals. I'm not sure what that means. But many shoppers would exploit promotions by faking their child's age to get a cheaper ticket, creating multiple emails to get one-off offers, or claiming fake price matches at competitors. So basically, again, retailers, as we talked about before, are now calling on the government to crack down on what's fast becoming a billion-dollar problem.
Peter, You're involved with asset protection and all that. Have you come across much where I've heard this happening on a few occasions where people actually get an item and they got a cheaper item, they take the price tag off that, put it on a dear item and then scan it? I mean, is that, I was going to say popular, but it's definitely not popular, but is that something that happens?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, that's definitely something that happens, and then the same people would tend to try and then refund the item, the original item, at the higher retail price back. And of course, they're not going to have a receipt to reflect that value, so they have to try and return without a receipt. Which, eventually, if they keep doing it too frequently, then they'll come on someone's radar for that activity. So. But absolutely, yes. Swapping tag swapping is definitely a thing. Unfortunately, absolutely.
I said, oh, I wouldn't think anyone have done that. Somebody asked me that, and I said, I'll ask Peter, because I wouldn't dare do that.
Well, there's plenty of people out there, Alan, who would dare to do that. I would put it that way.
Yeah, that's crook. All right. Something else, Peter, before we take a break?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of little side issues just to lighten it up a little bit, Alan.
Sounds good to me.
It's a new Californian law has been passed forcing TV networks to turn down the volume of TV ads.
Because there's always been that complaint, haven't they, that people reckon that the ads come on louder than the show?
Oh, absolutely. My dad, who infamously dozed off during the show always got woken up by the ads.
Did he?
And if you tried to change the station, he'd say, I was watching that. But, yes, I think we all know that the ads are a little bit louder.
So they've made it a law that they're not allowed to do it overseas?
In California, yeah, which hopefully would catch on around other parts of the world and eventually down here in Mexico. Yeah, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
So, and Alan, I've got a question for you.
Yep. Oh, I don't like these.
Yeah, I know. These are good. I like doing them. So, which Australian capital has the oldest population, do you think?
Ooh.
Would you think?
Oh, now that's...
So, yeah. Out of Perth, Darwin, Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne, Hobart, which has the highest average age in population?
I would say Northern Darwin, and the only reason I say that, there's a lot of older Indigenous up there.
Right.
That's the only reason I would say that. But
okay. So, Alan, this is why we enjoy doing this, or I do in particular.
Yeah, because I'm wrong.
It's actually the youngest.
Sorry?
Darwin is the youngest at 34.8 years.
Right.
Do you want to have another stab at who the oldest might be?
I'd say Sydney.
Nope.
Who's
Hobart, Alan, at 39.3 years.
What was the age? I laughed over it.
Hobart, 39.3, so 4.5 years older than Darwin on average.
Gee, I mean, that's surprising. Let's just think about this a minute. If I'd have said those to you, forget about... I would have thought that the age groups would have been up in the 50s, to be honest with you. What would you have thought?
The median age.
Yeah, but considering they say that there were an ageing population, I would have thought it would have been higher than the 30s, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you get a lot of junior burgers, which drag their median down.
But I would have thought there were more in the older bracket than the younger.
Yeah. All your grandkids, Alan, they're dragging down the average.
I've only got three.
So Adelaide was very close at 39.2, and Sydney and Melbourne were quite similar at 36.6 and 36.8. But, yeah, I wouldn't have picked Hobart either. I possibly wouldn't have said Darwin, but...
The only reason I picked Darwin, as I said, I would have thought there could have been quite a lot of Indigenous people in that in that age group up there that were in it.
Yes.
Right. On the strength of I lost every one of those, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
should nothing. I just wanna sing a little chill song, get my groove on, pour something strong down in my drink. Well, no.
Just a quick reminder, I'll be back next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, between 12 and 3 with music, memories and more, and then on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And, of course, I'll be back next Wednesday with 3 interviews, the middle one being our legal hour. So if you've got any questions on legal, give us a yelp, and we'd be only too happy to put them to them next week. Now, Peter, you want to mention about medical centres. Are they looking for drugs, or what's going on there?
No. So what it is, Alan, it's talking about a new crime wave. Melbourne is ground zero, funnily enough, for a crime wave aimed at doctors and dentists. So with gangs preying on payment machines, exploiting vulnerabilities in the billing system to fraudulently pilfer funds from healthcare professions. Yep. So it's been confirmed that a number of medical practices have been hit in recent months by criminal groups in a new kind of snatch and grab. The systems used for Medicare and private health rebates are now being used by crooks to pilfer tens of thousands of dollars from doctors in a massive misuse of the health system. Key vulnerability is the Tyro machines, who I understand provide most of the those sort of machines, and the HICAPS terminals, which I'm familiar with. So basically organised crime plundering the medical practice with one goal: to snatch the card machines and go. And then, of course, they're using the machines to process massive fake refunds and rebates, tapping into the system aimed at helping Australians manage their healthcare costs.
So, Peter, they break into the medical centres and knocking off these machines. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and then rapidly processing refunds to their bank accounts or wherever they can, and then presumably they'll fill up a bank account, close that out, and basically profiteering that way. So just goes to show there's an angle or a vulnerability comes up, and the crooks are onto it pretty quickly, aren't they? So,
well, and the more we use wireless technology, the easier it becomes for them too, isn't it?
Yes, and Tyro themselves have actually admitted they're aware of at least 7 medical centres that have been targeted by criminals to have their machines accessed. So they're aware of it. I'm not sure what they can do about it or what they are doing about it, but I guess probably better. They'd probably have to lock the machines away at night or something in a safe or something to try and deter them, I guess.
Yeah, like you just... I don't know. It amazes me. Like, technology moves on in some ways, and then as quick as it moves on, we get some crook who works out how to fiddle it.
Yeah, and there's a reference here, Alan, to one doctor. I won't name the doctor. No. Basically, crook stole thousands from each of the doctors at his practice. Fraudulent refunds ran into the tens of thousands, and he's saying it was targeted and organised, and it appears as if they cased the building before they came in, so... they must have known pretty much straight away where the machines were, and you've only got to unplug them or rip them out of the plug, and you're off and starting to process pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
And I guess the other thing is once you've got the machine, you do it really quick, don't you? So if you knocked it off late this afternoon or during the night, you could have a whole lot of them done before they even know the machine's gone.
Yeah, you'd be peddling away pretty quickly, wouldn't you, presumably they'd have the machine switched off or cancelled or something along those lines. So, yeah, that's, again, it just shows that it's a trend. Once you find a vulnerability, it just keeps getting hammered until something's done about it. And that's probably really the way that retail theft and that sort of theft happens. If you they find a weakness or a vulnerability, they'll just keep smashing it until you shut it down.
Not good.
Exactly.
Peter, I've still got a couple of minutes. We're fast running out of time. You want to talk about custody officers?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're talking about, again, a lot of articles, a lot of intel recently about, particularly the use in custody and things like that, which has now come to the point where custody officers are now wearing body cameras inside youth detention centres to record incidents such as inmate violence and attacks on staff, which are surging as per the intel that's coming out. And of course the other one too would be, I guess, to defend themselves as well in respect to, you know, allegations flying the other way. So the fact that that's become pretty much a necessity now, and particularly in youth detention centres. So I think we all know the problems that are going on in there.
Oh, absolutely. You wouldn't want to be involved in the system, would you?
Exactly. Where we talk about possibly not wanting to be a police officer, I think I'd even less likely want to be a
custody officer,
yeah. And probably just to finish off, yep. Alan, there was a reminder sort of article coming out about digital footprints, about leaving digital footprints, and that if you go a bit nuts on social media and you're going for a job and people do a little bit of homework and find things discovering that you might be talking about perhaps drug use or excessive alcohol or having a bit of a political view or something like that, then it can actually affect your job prospects. And of course, what they're saying behind all this is that basically everything gets retained. So it could be something you've inadvertently said in a drunken moment 20 years ago might come back to haunt you.
Well, I mean, a few of the pollies have been caught out just of late, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And where they said something stupid when they were younger and all of a sudden somebody goes searching and it's still sitting there.
Yeah, it's a bit like being married, isn't it, Alan? Something you said 20 years ago can still be used against you.
Oh, mate, you go back worse than 20 years. Now, women start ringing me for Pete's sake, but we've all been there.
We're a bit more than that, but, yeah, there's things I've done. Remember that day? And I go, no.
And I always knew you said that. You say, I can't even remember what I'd said last week, let alone 30 years ago. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, something else just to finish up, Peter?
Not overly. I just I had a couple more just about the AI thing. So I will keep tabs on, obviously, AI is the future in inverted commas. So I will keep tabs on developments along those lines, particularly in respect to asset protection and retail loss, because unfortunately with the facial recognition being sort of poo-pooed at the moment, and I do say at the moment because I honestly think it'll get switched back on in time.
Yep.
These other trends and things like that about the, watching people's gait and basically their the way they walk around the store, double tracking and backwards and forwards and even remaining in the store for too long can actually be a bit of a sign as well,
Peter, so can I just ask, interesting. Does everybody have a different gait when they walk, do they? They must.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, it's an identifiable feature. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Then there's no, you're not identifying their face or whatever, but absolutely. And I found that in my experience too, that sometimes someone will limp or walk in a certain way, or you get people that are sort of... what do you call them, sort of cocky walkers or whatever, and,
But even amongst those, the different ones, I mean, I understand a limp's a limp, but even amongst the other people that don't have a limp or that, everybody's different is what you're saying.
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, it's to do with their gait and the way they and also the pace that they move, and also you get the people that are obviously a little bit flighty. And keep sort of doubling back and changing direction and stuff. So, it's interesting that And these are the sort of trends that will become more and more apparent. I mean, it could even come down to things like clothing and things like that, which we're seeing a little bit of now. Right. If people are wearing distinctive shoes or a distinctive top or something with a particular branding on it that's not overly common, and then if you put all those together, sort of Adidas top, bright orange shoes kind of thing, well, if you put them together, then you might have an alternative way of identifying people.
Peter, I've got to go. P.I. Peter, thanks for your time again. Peter's with Absolute Facts. We do appreciate your time, and next time we talk to you, we'll be in November.
No, we'll be in December.
Oh, we will too. Yeah. I'll talk to you later on. Thanks, Peter.
No worries. Bye. Bye.